The evening has thickened into night with typical desert swiftness. There are no crickets, no night owls, no sudden rustling in the bushes, just silence. And maybe that's the very reason why I'm out here. The oppressive airs of the city had begun to choke my head. My homesickness was being compacted into this noisy city shoebox. Here, out here, it has all the open space it needs to breathe and meditate on itself. Right now, I would feel spiritual if I could only just catch my breath. The stars are deadly clear tonight. A mesh of cactus defines the sides of our sandy footpath, like barbed wire along a battle trench. I keep stubbing my toe to keep up with my guide's brisk pace. I wish I had his X-ray vision. The cold night air is beginning to bite, especially around my sandaled feet. A million fleeting shadows surround me. In fact, I bump into one of them. It excuses itself gruffly and disappears behind me. As I press forward, my guide seems to hover at a fixed distance like some fluorescent blue specter up ahead. The maze of cactus twists again to the right. Whew, I'm getting tired. My eyes follow the ghostly swaying of his robe. We had met in a taxi. He had offered to lead me to a nice place. I seem to remember only generic features, his mustache, his heavy brow, black eyes, chiseled cheeks. In the distance, laughter suddenly clatters like machine guns. The possible foolhardiness of this little junket of mine is beginning to worry me. But an aroma of stewed coffee and charcoal passes by on the breeze. Like a memory of home. Or is it just my wishful thinking? This strange, somber night rushes on, although everything is still, except a camel which trots past. More laughter. I sense a glow nearby. My guide turns sharply into a clearing. We're there. I step in. The laughter ceases. 20 male faces in varying states of decay look up with 40 eyes to glare at me with mysterious intensity. In every impassive eye, a small reflection of the burning campfire. Unnerved, I stare back. A gnarled hand jabs out from the pack and motions me to move closer. I obey, trying to force a smile while I smell the chemistry of dirt and weather-beaten cheeks, white kefirs, and isolation. I have just trod in virgin snow, as it were. I have disturbed some timeless tranquilness here. If I spoke the language, I'd drop a funny line or two to excuse my trespassing, my sacrilege. My disconcerted eye roams, lighting upon an object half buried in the red coals. It is encrusted with soot and old age. Someone in the shadows has grabbed its long bronze handle. He slowly eases it out of the flames. It looks like an evil branding iron. The Bedouins and I are both watching it closely, but for different reasons. It is metal. It is red, steaming hot. It is glowing with the intensity of the white Saharan sands at midday. And he walks over to where I sit, holding it ceremoniously, as if it were a Japanese suicide instrument, and he points it at me, and my guide is mumbling, but I can't really hear because he has turned his back on me. Kafi? La'a shukran. No, thank you. I cough as he brandishes this the old coffee pot under my nose. He startles me with his thick but passable English accent. Yes, shai, you, yes, tea? He perseveres. Aywa min fadlak. I finally spit out.
Ah, speak Arabic,
he infers. No, not at all, I reply. Gaining momentum, I try some Hebrew out.
Medaber ivrit, Adoni?
But he only shakes his head comically. Another man in a dusty tweed jacket and a faded purple robe reignites the conversation.
You Angiltra?
Yeah, I'm English, all right.
Yes,
I add casually.
I'm also American. Ah, you American.
His voice sings an ugly victory. Trying to understand my faux pas. There is some whispering, translations, verdicts. They speak in shadows.
No, no. Americana and Angiltra.
I don't know the Arabic word for and. What a simple word to trip us up. The Bedouin and I look vacantly at each other across the unbreachable wall of language. Another loud voice explodes from behind the flames.
Where do you go?
It demands. Cairo. The voice squawks with inexplicable outrage.
Why?
Now I am becoming incensed with their accusatory tones. Is this some court-martial? Who the hell are these people anyway to cross-examine me? I refuse absolutely to be broken by their inscrutable stares. I explain patiently, twisting my belt strap. I want to walk, see the desert, meet people, take my time. You know, me traveler, not tourist.
Are you tourist?
Walk slow, then maybe Cairo, I continue. My anger catches itself. I will be a good guest despite myself. Anyway, to explain these subtle semantic differences.
Cairo?
The voice parrots uncomprehendingly. A deeper voice chimes in.
El Masr. Oh, you go El Masr,
rampages the first.
No, just Cairo!
I accidentally shout and instantly regret. Tense silence suddenly collapses onto the hearing. Well, El Masr is Arabic for Cairo. A 14-year-old boy in gray pants materializes at my side with a noncommittal expression and his hands full. Here is your chai, he says, passing me a small, dirty mug full of steaming black tea. I thank him and wonder what this sudden respite means. The campfire is hot and insistent. The men are cross-legged, although some are stretched out on rugs, smoking ivory tobacco pipes with 3-foot stems. The smoke curls soporifically upwards, as slow and elegant as a camel's gait. They seem to have forgotten all about me in their smoking reverie. So I wrap my hands around the mug instead, and suck down the smooth warmth inside it. Egyptian tea is strong and thickly sugared, but it goes down warm as whiskey. Its friendly caress begins to soothe my angry heartbeat.
Can I see your passport?
Demands the 14-year-old. You know what? I'll keep down here for the night by the campfire, I think, and be on my way in the morning. There's no other alternative.
We want to see your passport, sir.
He repeats patiently.
What? Passport?
Mostly to preserve the safety of the moment, I take my freshly stamped key to safety out of my coat pocket and slap it playfully into his upturned palm. He vanishes. I begin feeling tingly all over, and my body is clamoring for relaxation. It is exhausted from weeks of solitude, of struggle and noise and problems. I find a warm spot near the hearth and sit down, swimming in thoughts of home, of my girlfriend, of my hasty departure. I forget about my hosts. My thoughts become non-specific. The tea is very sleepy. I scan the vaulted heavens with new appreciation as I lie back, watching the stars of the cosmos, spinning gently, whirring softly. Everything just feels so nice and warm. It's nice. It's really very nice. I am jolted awake in the back seat of a 7-seat Mercedes, speeding full pelt into the blackness. The driver's head is crouched into the wheel as if he were clutching the mane of a stallion. I rub my eyes, feeling drugged. I try to clear my thoughts. I'm in a taxi. Okay, did I fall asleep? Where are you taking me? You know, if American taxis charge Egyptian rates, businessmen could take a cab from Penn Station to the White House for $5? My abductors will not answer my questions. I remember that I gave someone my passport. I notice that they have brought along my backpack, very thoughtful. I don't even have a Swiss Army knife anymore. I feel like Theseus in the labyrinth without a ball of string. I find my helplessness rather amusing, actually. I keep thinking, nice of them to take me for a free ride. I bang my head as the car swerves sharply to the right. The tires crunch through the gravel. We have pulled up in front of a large concrete building. Various scraggly trees and bushes crawl up the yellowy walls, which rise enormously into the air. The crumbling facade of the building is foreboding. It's unornamented and vaguely illuminated from below. Could be a
town hall or perhaps a hospital?
Actually, it is the Army Police Headquarters. The other Bedouin in the front seat swings his head around. I can't be certain, but he looks like my original guide. Bring, he orders, stabbing a finger at my backpack. He steps out, slams the car door. The white shadow of his robe disappears behind the building. The driver sniffs, shakes his head, and also climbs out. Well, I decide I have no choice but to follow my new friends. We stride over to the left side of the fortress. The lights inside beam out through the windows as if some nuclear reaction were trapped inside and the could barely contain its explosive energy. We pass five or six soldiers in fatigues. They're all sporting black, sensuous submachine guns. There are more soldiers to my left. Shadows within the shadows. Reality suddenly swamps me with knife-like precision. I now understand their preliminaries, their questions, the passport, even the tea. Could they have? Nah. I think of Blade Runner. I think of Midnight Express. Oh, Christ almighty. Those were only movies.
You!
A sergeant with a prickly mustache plants himself in front of us.
Yusuk! Yusuk! Yusuk!
His voice bounces off of hidden walls.
Suk! 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 Suk!
Suk! Suk? I repeat the word uncomprehendingly.
Yusuk!
He demands again, more urgently this time. I wonder what my friends are doing right now, so far away.
Suk!
I get the feeling that my future is about to hinge on this single syllable, which I don't understand.
Come!
The Arab orders decisively. Military boots grind and clink in the pebbles just behind my neck. I am surrounded.
Just tell me what you want from me. My backpack? Here, look, I even have some money.
My mind sputters and my senses dilate morbidly. Nothing can happen to me. This is still civilization. A taunting chorus of yes, yes, Americana, yes, yes, ha 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 pierces me through and then dies awkwardly. And then there's a silence. One soldier in the shadow guffaws. The sergeant prods me over to a small shack about the size of a parking lot booth.
You guys are just joking, right?
Hey guys, let's just play cards. It's just big enough to stand two coffins upright inside. The paint is peeling badly like dead skin. The thatched roof smells mucky. The whole place smells rancid. Oh, this must be a movie, right? I've never smelt rotting flesh before till this moment. It's kind of overpowering. God, I can almost see the taxi from here. A young boy in gray pants is leaning on the roof and staring off into space. And I hate him.
You hear that? You're watching me wheezing with anticipation? You wish to observe my horror and panic?
And I begin to understand that there is no innocence.
You're gonna stab me quietly while I dream of alternative scenarios, and as I lose my smile, I will suddenly understand it. You were inevitable. You all were inevitable. I will trace back the twists of the plot and admire the way that you twisted the chain of cause and effect unexpectedly into this
noose.
And the realization will be simple and cathartic. The game is over now. It's finished. There will be no timeouts, no calls home. No passionate last goodbyes, no screams for justice. No more anything except me quivering stupidly in front of this putrid shack in the middle of fuck knows where. And several automatic rifles tickling my ribcage. I hate you because I reached out my hand to you. There was no need for pleasant formalities or rationale or comprehension at all, was there?
The sergeant flicks on his flashlight, shines it straight in my eyes. He grins like a jackal. I am like Antigone, following with my eyes the path of my destiny in the beam of his torch. As he wheels the light around, illuminating the interior of this concrete hutch, they push me inside.
The silence of the desert rings too loudly in my ears. It's a Turkish outhouse. It's a souk. A souk is a Turkish outhouse. Outside, I hear the clinking and the clicking of a machine gun. And there is a buzz of approval. Souk! And the soldiers settle back to await my re-emergence.
Thank you.
mocking whine. The Sahara winds at sundown. And then handcuffs opening like hell mouths. Fat bureaucrats, henchmen, gape-mouthed buzzards, bickering rabble. No explanations. Pummelings repressed. Jostling me down into cloister damp, tense limbo. On the freezing stones, a prostitute, paper-thin skin, and a groveling old twig man, brutalized lips, they snarl silent in empty darkness. I pass. She wakes, staggers, miracle, to the window slit. Across her face, sad mask, meaningless shadow clouds, clamor, but the words I could not. The rifles, the cold breathing at my neck, whispers of safety and distant home fires.
Do not be afraid to die. Thank you. the rat trap. You don't need a prize. You won't need a prize. Just get on your bird and fly. Just fly. Going free into the speed zone, going home. You'll be ace, pick up.